Welcome to the second episode of the NVX's podcast. I'm Jamie Tay.
And I'm Mick Curran.
And we're running on very little sleep, so hopefully this podcast won't be totally unintelligible. Mm. I guess on this podcast... oh boy, it started already. We're going to talk primarily about the upcoming NVIDIA 2012.2 release, which has just gone into beta. Was it about a week ago?
Yes, that's right.
We're probably going to release a beta too sometime.
In the next 2 days, yes.
But basically, the release is finalized in terms of the features, so I guess we'll start with that. So the first thing is we call it repackaged, and I guess Mick can tell you more about that.
All right, so people will notice very quickly when they go to download NVDA that NVDA is now completely repackaged in a different way. People were always used to having to choose whether they wanted the portable copy or the installer copy. Now, there's just one copy. We just refer to it as the main package or download package. And what this does is when you... It's just one file. When you run it, it will... start a temporary copy of NVDA and straight away ask you, firstly to agree to a license agreement, but secondly, it will ask you whether you want to install NVDA, whether you want to create a portable copy, or whether you want to just keep on running the temporary copy. So the idea here is to really bring, to get rid of our old installer, which we know did have a few issues such as slow uninstallation and things like that. So we've embedded the installer now inside NVDA itself.
So we have a lot more control over what we can do with it.
We do, but one of the major advantages to this is that this installer is accessible not just from the temporary copy of NVDA, but also accessible from portable copies you make. So, for instance, if you have NVDA on your USB thumb drive and you go somewhere and you want to actually install it, well, that's just easy. You just go, now you just have to go in the NVDA menu, tools, and install NVDA, and you can do it right from that copy. And the install process is much more simplified. It doesn't ask you hardly as many questions as it used to. So really the only two things you need to choose now are whether it should start on the Windows logon screen and whether you want to create a desktop shortcut with the shortcut key. Other than that, it just goes on its merry way and does it. And I must say it's quite a lot faster as well.
It is. Of course, one of the other advantages of it is if you don't want to customize your install, previously you had to sort of go next, even if you weren't even interested in customizing at all, whereas now you can just go, just hit enter as soon as you install, go into the install dialog, and it just goes off and does it.
That's correct. And so, talking about the creating the portable copy feature as well, so that can be accessed, so it asks you in the temporary copy whether you want to create a portable copy, but also from any installed copy of NVDA, you can also create a portable copy at any time. And so that allows you to, either create a portable copy anywhere on your hard drive or maybe on a, plug in a USB thumb drive, point this wizard to that place, and off you go, and it will create it for you.
Very useful. Mm. There is one feature that we did remove, that we've just removed, and that was the creation of an autorun .inf file. Now, those of you who are technical understand that that is a file that allows you to run automatically off a USB drive or a movable drive, but the problem is that it doesn't work on Windows 7, it doesn't work in earlier versions of Windows XP. If you generate in the wrong, you don't generate in the right place, things break. It's just not really reliable. So we're going to look into the future. We're going to look into potentially maybe doing something with U3 drives, which offer a few more possibilities there. But that's just in case people are wondering, that's what's happening there.
But look, people are still free to, if you know how to do it, it'll certainly still work for you if you know that, that it will work in your situation. We're not stopping people from doing it. We're just not going to offer that from the wizard. But
and it is documented on the website still too, how to do it if you want to.
It's also worth noting that we always talk about USB thumb drives. If you want to talk about read-only media like CDs, we do suggest that you just put the the download package of NVDA, the one that runs a temporary copy on the CD, as the portable version won't run on CDs.
And it's generally faster to do that anyway.
It is a lot faster because that means it will only have to read one file off the CD and then it will
extract
it onto your hard drive temporarily, right.
So the next feature, big feature on the list, is automatic updates. And, well, I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory, even though it's a pretty a big thing. It basically will check for updates every day and tell you there's an update. And if you're using an install copy, it'll actually just automatically, it'll tell you, do you want to install it? And you can say, yeah, install the update, and it'll go and download it and then install it for you. And this all happens, well, I'm going to call it semi-automatically because you still have to hit OK and stuff like that. But it all happens without you having to open the file or anything like that. If you're using a portable copy, it'll just take you to the direct download link to download it, because updating portables isn't necessarily practical. So I guess there's really not too much more to say, but people obviously have been asking for this for a long time, and it's something that we finally felt that it was time to do. And plus, it allows us to gather some very useful statistics, which we'll talk about a bit later.
It does, yes.
Next thing on the list is Metro apps, and we did talk about this in the last podcast, but we have a nice update for you.
Yes, well, this has all changed with a lot of blood, sweat and tears, I guess. You know, I mean, as I've always said, Microsoft have been very helpful with answering all the questions, but we did have to do a lot of rewriting to a lot of our internal in-process code and all that to get around a lot of new security precautions in Windows 8. But at the end of the day, all of our sort of, I guess, NVDA, I guess it's we can say that NVDA functions the way it does in any other app now in Metro apps. So you know, if there are, well, most Metro apps will probably use a browse mode document. Now, whether this is appropriate for all Metro apps, time will tell, and we can slowly, you know, tweak that over, you know, the coming months, years, or people can obviously just, you know, switch to focus mode or whatever. But it's going to be, it's very blurred, the same as the idea with Adobe Flash. It's very hard to tell when you really should or shouldn't class it as a document. But anyway, the point is that that is available now. You can have browse mode documents in Metro apps. You can have speak typed characters now in Metro apps. In theory, you could have display information as well, but I don't think too many of the apps actually bother writing to it anyway.
They'll all use direct 2D.
They will, so it's probably not that important. But so yeah, all of that tends to work now, and it should be,
including the Metro version of IE.
Yes, that's the major point here, I guess, is that as we mentioned last time, on Windows 8, if you start Internet Explorer from the start screen, it's a different version of IE. It's the one that runs in their Metro context, and yeah, previously that wouldn't work whatsoever with NVDA, but now, no, it feels exactly the same as the older Internet Explorer, no different. So we're really happy about that.
Next big one is, we're doing a lot of sort of packaging stuff, as you can see. The next one is add-ons. Now, for a long time, we've supported app modules, so the ability to write specific code to support applications. And more recently, we started to support what we call global plugins, which is a way to basically add new functionality, which is not just for a specific application. It could be anywhere in NVDA. And, I mean, this is all great and fantastic, and people have done some really interesting stuff. But to cut a long story short, it's, as we mentioned in the last podcast, it's kind of painful to install those. You have to copy them into the right places and make sure you get it all right. So we have now implemented the add-on packaging system. So, Mick, if you want to take the floor.
All right. So the idea here is, well, from the user's perspective anyway, if there is a particular feature that you want to add to NVDA, well, you go online and find these special NVDA add-on files, which is just a file with a .nvda-add-on extension, and you download it, and then then you go into the NVDA menu and Tools and Manage Add-ons. And this brings up a dialog which has a list of currently installed add-ons. Now, by default, there won't be any.
Even if you have older style.
Yes, that's a very important point. Yes, it will only list the new add-ons The old app modules and global plugins will still run, but we do advise if there are add-ons available now that you should remove the old ones and install the add-on. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier managing your configuration. So this dialog has an install button, so you're able to, when you press that, it brings up like an open dialog and you can go and find the add-on file on your system. And it will ask you whether you're sure you want to install it, and it is important to answer the question carefully, because you do have to trust, you know, where this code comes from, because say if you install an add-on into a portable copy, well, the most the add-on could do, if you don't trust it, it could, you know, it can obviously access your user files and configuration and stuff. If you install an add-on system, you know, for an installed copy of NVDA, be aware that it has access to pretty much your entire system. So just take that into account, obviously.
Not the entire system so much as, like, so it can't delete files.
No,
like
I guess not. But
it can access... It can access the user interface of applications running as administrator,
yes,
for example.
Yes.
And that could be significant.
Mm. But I mean, I guess if people have been using app modules and plugins for a while, there's obviously no change there. Mm. But it's just something to be aware of.
As always, be aware of what you install.
Exactly. And so then it installs. Once it installs, it will show up in the list. But it is worth noting, though, in order to actually activate the add-on, when you close the dialog, it asks NVDA asks you if it should restart, mm-hmm. which you in most cases should say yes to, because the add-ons won't work until you do restart. And that dialog also allows you to remove add-ons, and there's also a button to show you extra information about the add-on. So, mm-hmm. for instance, the author, the description, and where to get more information, the URL, etc. Yeah, so it's quite simple, the system.
There's no central repository at this stage. Several people have asked us this question.
Yes.
But it is something that we're looking into. It probably almost certainly won't be ready for this release, but it is something that we're looking into for the future.
Correct.
But at least for now, it still allows you to, if someone gives you an add-on, it's much easier to install it. You just browse to the file. You don't have to know where to copy all the individual little bits and pieces.
Yeah. And for developers of plugins and etc., the add-on specification is all in the developer guide for this release,
mm-hmm. which is already available on the website.
It is, yes.
Just a really quick note: we now have inbuilt support for localization in add-ons. So I won't go into details about how you do it, but basically, it's very easy now to translate add-ons into different languages,
mm-hmm.
and people seem to have gone nuts with the OCR add-on and translated it into, I think, 6 or 7 languages already, so that's pretty cool.
Is there an easy way that people can actually get to that OCR add-ons, just because it's obviously an example of a package?
No, I have to find a good way to get to it. It's still there is a web address, but we'll have to find a page for it or something like that.
Yep.
Just because, right, I mean, it is a very popular add-on.
Oh, you can search for us on Twitter. We have retweeted it.
Yes.
MB Access on Twitter.
There'll probably be a new version coming out soon anyway,
yeah.
So we'll need to do something like that.
Yeah, just watch the lists and all that, and I'm sure people will be using it. So,
mm-hmm.
yep.
Okay, the browse mode start end, move to start and end of element thing.
Yeah, people have been asking for this for a very long time.
It's ticket 123, around 2000
gee,
or something now. So.
Yeah. So in short, what that enables now is, if you're, say, in a table or a list or a block quote or any sort of container in browse mode documents, there's a way now to jump to either the start of that container or jump past the end of it. And the keyboard shortcuts for that, they were different in beta 1, but they did change for beta 2 and onwards, so that's the one I will mention. And they changed to keep it a bit more in line with the rest of the quick navigation keys, and it also fixed a localization issue for French. And one other language, yeah. So to jump to the start of a container, it's shift plus comma, and to jump to the end, it's just comma.
Where am I?
At home.
Something about containers.
I think we just said that one.
Yeah, no. Oh, that's the end of the container thing.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, right. As I said, sleep problems. So, Microsoft Word graphics.
Yes, well, last time we talked about the fact that 2012.1 had extremely updated support for Microsoft Word, so it was much more performant, and it also gave you much more information, such as footnotes and headings and all that kind of stuff. Now, we've also added graphics to that, so if there is a inserted graphic in your document, NVDA will say graphic, and it will also, if there is alt text defined, it will also read that alt text as well. It is worth noting, though, I'm not quite sure on this in Microsoft Word, but I guess I should mention that this only works if the graphics are, if the images are inline, so that they're actually on the they're on the same level as the actual document text, because I think it's possible to insert images that are sort of floating over the top or on
like
a different layer.
As well.
Yes, so it won't work with those ones. It only works with ones that are actually in the flow of the document. But I would think that most, you know, if you just go insert clip art or insert file image, I think that's the way it does it by default. So most people will be able to take advantage of that.
And the last item is, this is a big one for some people, Excel cell coordinates. So previously we used to speak, say you had cell A1 and it had a value of 500, you'd hear A1, 500. And people found that really annoying. And so now it'll say 500 A1, so you hear the more relevant information first.
Yes, but it's worth noting that also this... the actual announcement of the cell coordinate now honors the report tables and report table cell coordinates options in document settings, which may, I should point out, which may throw some people off, because I do know there's a lot of people who have their table cell coordinates turned off by default. Just be aware that then if that's the case, if you are using Excel, it's only going to say the text, or in some cases, if there's no text in the cell, it might just say cell. So to rectify that, just turn on your cell coordinates in document settings, and that will be all hunky-dory.
And basically, the reason for that is that we're now actually treating Excel tables like tables.
Like real tables, that's correct. And there, you know, people were asking for both reversing that information and also being able to turn it off. So we've hopefully answered both of those problems. So
excellent.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it for 2012.2, which will, beta 2, as we say, will be out in the next few days. The release will probably be out sometime sort of early to mid-June.
Yes.
Before it goes to plan. Well, I'd just like to talk really quickly about donations. Obviously, donations are really important to us. We need donations to keep surviving, and we really appreciate those that have donated. Just to give you some statistics, since the last podcast, and I mean since we recorded it, even though we released it like a month and a bit late... so that's late March that it was recorded.
Yes.
We've had $8,000 thereabouts in donations, which is fantastic. And 40 people, we realized the other day, are making monthly donations. So they've actually subscribed for monthly donations. That's a really great effort. Yeah, keep up the great work. It'll
yes,
be great
thank
to see,
you.
See more of that. we talked just before about automatic updates and statistics. And previously, the only thing we've been able to really have is the number of people on our mailing lists and also download statistics, which can be inflated because of, you know, I don't know really what it can be inflated by, but people just downloading it and then forgetting about it, or random software which just goes and downloads stuff. I don't know. But basically, it doesn't give us a really good indication of how many users we actually have on a regular basis. So automatic updates allows us to get some idea of the number of users that we have using the product regularly, because it happens each time an update check occurs. And this is good for us. It allows us to, I guess, better see where the product's being used and how many users we have, who we need to serve. And it's also good for us in terms of funding. Potential funders love statistics.
They do.
So I think Mick did a bit of research on what the statistics actually are at the moment.
Yep. I guess I'll just point out, you did say before that update checks are done once a day, and so the idea is that we can guarantee that any given copy of NVDA will only contact our servers once a day, which then means we can do some cool, tricky statistical stuff based on averages on daily averages. So,
for those that love SQL and understand what that is, I tell you what, the statement's pretty damn complex.
It is. Some of the things that we're collecting are information such as country, NVDA version, whether NVDA is installed or you know otherwise it's portable, whether it's 64-bit. I think that's all the main ones, isn't it?
Yep.
That is, yep. And the version of the operating system you're running as well.
Oh, yes.
Now, that's, you know, there's no other personal or information or anything like that. It's simply just, you know.
It's all very nice.
All that. That's all I've mentioned.
But, and no, no unique identification.
No, that's like. Correct. And that's why we have to do some tricky stuff with the statistics is because we can't identify the same copy twice.
We believe in your privacy.
We do. So we can, yes, I can mention a few little interesting things. So on average, over the last 14 days or so, we've been averaging about, say, maybe 550 daily users of NVDA. But keep in mind that this is only, you know, since auto updates went in. So this is only people running from snapshots and
beta 1.
And beta 1. Interestingly enough, though, since beta 1's come out, that has now shot up to, very quickly in the last few days, has shot up to about 780 people per day using it. And I'm sure that will, you know, massively go up as we release the RC and then the final release. We'll keep you posted on those numbers. But
that's only in the last week that that's really... I mean,
correct.
Just keeping in mind that people often don't download the release immediately.
That's right, that's right. So it does slowly go up. So talking about countries, again, in the last, say, well, since we started the statistics, we're looking at about 85 countries so far using snapshots in the beta. The top ranking country is the US, and some days it's about 16% of of all downloads, and then it's places such as Brazil, the UK, Germany, and Spain after that. Interestingly, 80% of people install NVDA and only 20% run a portable. Of course,
I do find that very interesting.
Again, though, I mean, you know, this is a little biased because these statistics are very early and it's only snapshots and betas, so people have different reasons for installing it.
It's kind of surprising that that many people install what we call testing snapshot, code.
Yeah. That's right.
You clearly trust us.
Mm-hmm. And the other, I guess the other interesting one is that we now know that about 43% of our users use Windows 7 and about 30% use XP, and 32-bit is still much more popular than 64-bit at this point in time. I think that's all the
I think that's pretty
major
much all
statistics
the
I can think of. Yeah,
and we'll keep you updated just out of interest as things progress. It'll be very interesting for both us and probably everyone else to see what's actually happening there. So
yes, oh, I should point out we one very very interesting thing that we can see with the statistics. Maybe we shouldn't be looking, but the point is that we're noticing that since the beta came out. We still see some people daily running snapshots from a month ago, probably when we released the last podcast. For those who've used snapshots, main 5059, someone's still running. So we do suggest that people update to the latest beta, just at least, you know, if you are planning, you know, if you're obviously running snapshots to, you know, maybe provide feedback or whatever, but the best feedback you can give is
current
feedback with the current betas.
We'll try not to break them too often.
We'll try not to, but yeah. So we can, it's very interesting looking at all the versions. There's a lot of people, a lot of different snapshot versions being used daily still, but yeah, that's all.
I think that's pretty much it from us.
Yes, I guess so. We should probably mention again that... donations are extremely important and we appreciate them very much. And if you would like to donate, there's obviously there's the donate button on the NVDA website, the direct URL.
Well, probably the best way is just to go to nvaccess.org.
That's true, and then find the donate button.
Everything NVaccess related.
Yes.
Just a really quick shout out again to sponsors, Adobe Systems and Mozilla Corporation at the moment. Thank you very much. Yeah. And, I think that's pretty much it.
Might be back next time, maybe before the next release, maybe after.
Maybe. Thanks for listening.